The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Hi there, and welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. I'm your host, Nathan Ross, and as you know, we like talking about planning your tax and financial future using real estate. And we typically start off the show by asking, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you money or create significantly more wealth over the rest of your life? And I'm reminded, as I review these transactions that our clients are investing in, just how much money is being made throughout the pandemic, and it appears going forward, at least for a short while, maybe long while, is made off of simply providing safe, clean, and well-located housing for the mainstream population. Most of the projects that my clients and myself invest in are not the nice, gleaming, new constructed buildings, but some are. But typically, the better returns can be had on the beat up old Class C apartments, you know, 50, 60, some 70 years old, that can be brought up to the current standards, amenity wise, and return significantly higher rents than they're getting at the moment that they're acquired. So in any event, different strategies, different asset classes, not just within apartments. Some people make money in industrial projects or hotels or healthcare facilities, retail. There's quite a few segments that have become the favor of the real estate private partnership syndication space, and we like apartments. Apartments are, I think, easier to understand, and I think the way they sync up with the economy is a safer play than, say, a retail focus or some of the other options out there. You know, I, again, was listening to the show that comes on before hours here on Saturdays on KSEV, and I was, again, struck by some of the bad tax advice I hear when it comes to retirement funds. And, you know, we're going to give you some reasons today. We're going to keep talking about getting your money over to tax-free assets, why you want to do that. I'm going to give you some updated statistics and amounts on just how bad the debt scenario is. And if you don't understand what's coming, hopefully we can give you enough reality to where you'll understand why it's critical that you take advantage of the current low tax brackets compared to what they're going to have to be to satisfy the math that's coming down the tracks in terms of spending and the amount of revenues we have coming in to use to pay for the heightened cost of living in America. If you, after hearing what I'm talking about, if it bothers you enough or you want some help navigating your own specific tax journey, feel free to go to our website. It's at beaplanner.com. Again, that's BEAPLANNER. And let's have you fill out our intake forms. You'll see the link there at the top right. You'll also see the ability to schedule a call And I will be happy to take some time and show you mathematically in live living color where your money is headed or what it could do if it was deployed correctly into the right projects. And you may be surprised to see just how fast you can catch up if you're behind on retirement living or retirement savings, which most people are that come to us. And you know, for those of you that are thinking, well, gee, I've got $1 million, $1.5 million in my 401k currently, and I'm pretty well set for whatever's coming. And I'm going to suggest to you that, yeah, if you have perfect health and you don't need to spend upwards of $880,000 in retirement, as most, or I guess over half of all American couples do, which will literally bankrupt the other spouse in many cases, because you don't get much help paying for that until you've spent down your family's wealth under the Medicaid rules, Medicare rules. And so, you know, you don't have near as much with when you consider your silent partner and how much the government will be taking out of every payment you make if you don't get your money over to tax-free investments. And it's not necessarily that the investment is tax-free, it's the structure that we're referring to. We're talking about Roth conversions, or we're talking about offloading some of your real estate private partnership income into some cash value life insurance that also covers your health, your long-term health care or chronic illness needs, if you were to incur that, which again, it's about a 50-50 chance, either you or your spouse will. And so there's ways of covering that risk without going out and buying the very expensive long-term health care coverage. You can buy the right policy type, excuse me, that will not only give you a death benefit, it'll give you cash value, it'll also give you riders that we can put on the policies for long-term health care and chronic illness. And it totally changes the way you look at insurance when you realize the four different prongs that this strategy has. But in any event, those are the types of offloads we're talking about, or rebalancing, if you will. We're taking some of the money to pay some conversion tax. You're also going to take some money and put it into some alternative asset pools that will diversify your retirement savings. Let's see. The other thing I was going to mention, I tell you what, we'll talk about that if we get time. I'm not going to bring it up just yet, but I want to suggest to you that what I'm talking about in terms of rebalancing your income streams, there is no cookie cutter approach. That's why we need to see your information. That's why we like the intake forms. There are multiple approaches to getting you over to the zero tax bracket and either reducing or eliminating the partnership you have currently with the government on your pre-tax or tax-deferred, whatever you want to call that type of assets, your IRAs, your 401ks that have not yet been subjected to tax. So in any event, we will pick up. We're going to take a short break. We'll pick up when we get back, and we will discuss some of these. We're going to call it the debt apocalypse is upon us. It'll be the title there. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. No matter how much it cost, lies on a win, no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones are made of my life, but I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I'm gonna be rich, no matter how much it cost. I'm gonna win, no matter how much I lost. And I hope that will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your sacrifice.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Man show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I'm sure some of you may have tuned in to hear my sidekick, Dan DuBose. And unfortunately, he is tied up with, some kind of Republican committee matter today. And I'm not sure about tomorrow. I'm hoping he can join us on the Syndication Math show tomorrow morning, as many of you are aware. We do that at 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Let's think of it as Syndication Sundays. And have a couple of transactions this week. I don't know if I'll get to both of them, but there's a couple of transactions that are intriguing enough to at least discuss and help you understand why they're intriguing, so you can be watching for the next time, because both of these transactions are already underway. I believe both of them are already underway raising capital, which means that unless you are already connected with the syndicator involved, you won't be able to participate. Okay, so now I mentioned right before we left the air, the debt apocalypse is here. And I'm going to give you some numbers. Now, I'm picking some lower ranges. I've seen other economists that use higher statistics in terms of the current debt to GDP ratio. These numbers are coming from David McKnight. David McKnight is the author of The Power of Zero, the New York Times bestseller that talks about the tax train that's coming. There's also a Netflix movie based on that you might want to check out. And then he's got another book on the Look Before You LERP, which is the life insurance retirement plan that involves the insurance strategy that I mentioned just before the break. And then he's got another one called The Volatility Shield, which talks about the importance of the timing on how long your money lasts, the longevity risk combined with the tax rate risk. And then lastly, a book that's become our playbook, which is Tax-Free Income for Life. And, you know, the approaches and strategies that Mr. McKnight deploys are typically using market-type investments, index funds, mutual funds, single premium annuities, maybe, and like I mentioned, some life insurance premium properly deployed, which is all well and good, but it really, the throughput rises nowhere near to the level that real estate does in terms of the cash flows that are generated. So we've taken some of those strategies and added the icing to the cake, which is real estate that generates above average returns typically on your investment. And specifically, we're using passive roles with real estate. We're not asking, or you're not going to need to get out of bed in the morning to go run those old Class C apartment buildings and help make them beautiful and get the net operating income up higher than when you bought it, so you can either refinance it and pull a massive amount of your original investment out, or you might sell it. There's a myriad of issues that go into that choice of option as you get further in. But bottom line is, this is a passive role. There's going to be someone probably younger and stronger than you and I that will gladly take on that role. They'll get a bigger piece of the pie. That's okay. A little bit of greed is good for capitalism. And so, it's got to be within reason, though. And we're very sensitive about fees and scenarios where the greed factor seemingly has become the focus instead of both the passive and the sponsor, or the active partner, being able to make money at about the same time, not just, waiting for the end to get the crumbs if you're the passive partner. And unfortunately, that's how most transactions are structured, and we don't like it. We call it out. That's part of what we get paid the big bucks for by our clients, is to figure out, is this one got a decent level of let's call it alignment of the two types of participation, or is this one purely a fox and chicken coop type scenario where the fox is raiding your chicken coop and you might not get much of anything at the end? It just depends on how things play out. And unfortunately, right now, we've entered a period where we really don't know how things are going to play out. The recession is upon us. I haven't seen it affect multifamily rents just yet, and we'll see how that goes. We're watching that closely every week. In fact, I've got a couple articles I'll share with you, as I usually do, later in the show. But in any event, so back to the statistics, the update. The debt-to-GDP ratio, and these, again, are a little bit lower than others are suggesting, is at 108%. But it's rising fast, and by even at this lower level, if you project forward to 2052, and even being somewhat conservative on what the interest rates might be and the nation's spending otherwise, the debt to GDP ratio will be somewhere in the 185 to 200% range. That's horrifying when you think about the impact on our spending and our taxes, because you don't spend that big of a upside down and inversion, if you will, without significant, let's call them tragic consequences to living in the economy that's associated with that. The big emphasis here, the big reason these numbers are just skyrocketing, is because the aging of America. And, when you think about it, the baby boomers, and I forget the statistics on just how many people that involved, but it was significant. Between 2011 and 2029, there will be, the number will reach 70 million baby boomers that are eligible, they qualify. They turn 65, which means they qualify for Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Healthcare is the single biggest cost to the economy. The healthcare cost will rise to 20% of the entire U.S. economy. It's mostly Medicare-driven. And then you've also got Social Security, where right now there's approximately 2.8 Americans that are working to fund each person that's actually claiming Social Security. By 2042, that drops closer to 2 people. That's a big drop. It's not quite 30%, but it's close. And the scary thing, and this has, it just reverberates throughout the economy, to fully fund Social Security, the Social Security piece of this conundrum, in 2035, or by 2035, we would need $2.9 trillion sitting in the bank today earning treasury rates. And these numbers are so big, and we're talking about, you know, trillions, et cetera. You're probably thinking, well, gee, we probably got that or close to it. No, we don't. We've got zero sitting in the bank earning treasury rates. We've got nada, none. And by 2035, that's for the future now. But now the trust fund, which is the money we do have, by 2035, it's totally depleted, which means that Social Security will have to be funded purely from incoming tax revenues, or benefits have to be cut. Those are your two choices. That's the two bookends anyway. I guess you could bifurcate those two bookends, which that's still not very appealing. But, you know, think about the impact of what that means to whoever is still working. If you're part of that 2.2 Americans that are paying for the rest of us folks, here's your math to fix it. By 2028, the average four-person family should expect to lose $4,000 in take-home pay. This as soon as we start addressing this fairly, well, 6 years down the road here, which don't count on Congress to do it any sooner. In fact, I wouldn't count on them to do it by 2028. But by 2038, 10 years later, that amount's doubled to $8,000 more money coming out of your paycheck for Social Security and Medicare. And by 2048, $16,000. All of this highlights the need to take advantage, again, of the historically low tax brackets now and start shifting your assets over to tax-free investments. So by the time you get to retirement, I understand if you're still working, bringing home a lot of money each year, we're not going to get you down to the zero tax bracket. We want to work on getting you positioned, getting you staged, because by 2028, it's going to be too late to start. So we don't suggest usually ever that you run out and convert everything you have, because doing so would push you up in to the highest brackets. But in the case that we typically do this, we look at current year tax brackets that you're in, current year investments that you have, what they're generating, and we try to stay under, for sure, under the 32% bracket, and we really like the 22 or 24% brackets, and that gives you enough. If you're a fairly normal client of ours and you've got $500,000 to $1 million in retirement money, that gives us enough to work with that by the year 2029, 2030, we've more or less gotten your assets over into the right type of structure. And it is structure. You know, you can start investing in real estate private partnerships right now today, and we can still undertake conversions without you having to liquidate those investments. And that presumes you've got money outside the retirement funds that you can fund the tax with, which is far more efficient than killing some of the geese that are laying the golden eggs inside the retirement funds. But again, it really is a very unintrusive process of converting those funds. And in fact, you don't typically even need to notify the sponsor or the lead partner that you're doing that, presuming that the manner in which you undertake that doesn't liquidate any of the funds. And again, if you need help protecting these savings from the looming debt apocalypse as it gets bigger and bigger, connect with us. Let's talk and let's see if we can sync up our strategies with what you're tax facts and circumstances are. Just remember, there's no cookie cutter approach, and a certain strategy may fit your needs, your objectives better than the strategies that we work with other clients. But again, that's what we can take a look at for you if we have the data. I see that we're here ready for the second break, so let's go ahead and take that now, and we'll be back in a few minutes, and we will talk more about, we'll talk about some news, and then we'll talk about Roth conversions. We'll be right back with the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
To me and asking what your secret. With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mass Show with Nathan Ross. And as we were just leaving the air there on the prior segment, I was mentioning a couple news prospects I wanted to mention from this past week. One article, and again, when I talk about some of these articles, you got to remember that the focus is usually on the averages. And as I've said many times on the air, you know, none of us are average. We're all actual. And the actual data obviously varies within different segments of the population or the population of rental properties or apartment buildings, et cetera. But I'll tell you, there's an article that I think, you know, we've been expecting to see something in this light, because it just can't keep going and going and going forever upward. But the days of sky-high multifamily rents appear to be over, according to RealPage. RealPage is a market study-based group that issues white papers and other reports. And they've already tallied the June rents, and they're saying they came in lower than earlier this year in more than half of the major U.S. metros. Well, there you go. So there's apparently half of the major U.S. metros that they went the other way. So without, you know, I guess, paying the big bucks and subscribing to these reports, which that's why they do these reports. It's probably hard to know, but a couple quotes here. You know, moderating demand and rent growth were widely expected, and it appears to be finally happening, according to RealPage. The only question is whether the market's entering a true slowdown due to inflation or it's stabilizing towards more sustainable balance levels. We tend to take the latter view, which that's the good news here, I guess the silver lining. And I guess when I look at our clients' properties, most of the properties, I've been amazed at the deals that have been undertaken in the last 6 months, how that many of those projects have hit or made significant progress towards raising the rents as they anticipated in the pro forma. And again, you have to remember, whether the economy is going up, it's going down, or going sideways, there's always some people that are taking it on the chin, and there's others that are loving life because of the unique facts and circumstances of their projects. And when you can buy an older property or one that's got significant deferred maintenance that is a drag on your rental rates, and you can make that property beautiful, both physically appealing, the aesthetics and the financials, meaning the decrease in expense loads or the increase in revenues, bringing the property up to a market rate rental, you're loving life because it increases your net operating income, which that's one of the big components that allow us to extract value out of these properties is getting the NOI moving upward. And then that gives you the story to tell when you go to the bank or the lender or put the property on the market to sell it. Cash flow is what banks lend on, and it's what buyers acquire. It's not a comp like it is in the single-family market, which has really slowed down. The single family property, if you own single family rentals, there it's a great way to make money, but the problem is you're capped out when you try to sell it or refinance it based on what your neighbor has sold their property for 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago, as the case may be. And that right now, 2 months ago probably wouldn't be given near as much credence as 2 weeks ago because things are moving so fast. But in any event, we think, again, like RealPage, at least with the properties that our clients are operating, they're somewhere in between. I don't think they're slowing down. In fact, I see more transactions right now than we have, or just as many, I should say, over the last 6 months to a year. But there's no question that, the rental rates, I think, will taper off. And simply we'll be trying to keep people in the units at a sustained balance level of rent after we've adjusted for bringing the property up to market. And again, nobody buys apartment buildings to rent them for what they were doing when they paid, when they bought them. So, I mean, we're all trying to bring the property up to market, whether it's, if there's, I see on these projects many times, I see what I think are unreasonable suggestions as to what someone can raise rents. And when I see a Class C, 50 or 60 year old property someone, a syndicator sponsor, is saying, well, we're going to acquire this thing, we're going to put the wood like flooring in, the new appliance package, we're going to add a BART park or valet trash service, we'll put some covered parking in. And just magically, that the people that are in those units currently are going to pay them that extra $200, $250 a month. And I'm just thinking, there's no way that's going to happen. And I understand the concept of not renewing leases and appealing to new tenants, but that's got a limit as well. And if you're talking about a 60-year-old property in a submarket, such as maybe Pasadena, where you've got areas that just won't sustain or won't attract that tenant that's willing to pay the extra money, no matter how nice you make it, because of the specific location or the, you know, some things you can't change when it comes to aesthetics. You know, when you've got properties on either side of you, like maybe out in the Greens Point area where you've got razor wire around the top of the fences on certain properties. And I recall a property that one of my clients was thinking they were going to invest in, and I asked if they'd driven by it to see what it looks like, and they said they hadn't. And I happened to be in town that weekend, and so I did. And sure enough, I knew the area. I used to office out there, knew it well. This was an area where Goldman Sachs had at one time acquired 19 out of the 21 properties there at Beltway 8 and I-45. And, you know, I knew what that area was like. Used to drive through it often when I officed there at Beltway 8 and Imperial Valley. And so anyway, I took a drive-by. Well, sure enough, it was the worst possible scenario. The property that she was looking at didn't have any razor wire, but the ones on either side of them did. And so you would naturally think, well, gee, wonder which property might get some unexpected activity when it comes to people, you know, looking to wreak havoc in somebody's life. So, yeah, just common sense still applies. Just because you got somebody else running the property or suggesting, you know, hey, this is a deal that's going to make you a lot of money, don't accept that. They're making a lot of money. You can count on that. They're usually making a lot, and they're making it early. They're making it before you, and that's not what we're interested in. We want an alignment of the passive interest with the sponsors, and there's a few syndicators out there that are doing that, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Talked about it last Sunday on one of the syndicators. And the deals are out there. You've just got to be judicious in your analysis and understand what your choices are and what you're signing up for. And that's what we help you do. But picking up with this article, renters signing new leases in June, this is amazing, paid 19.2% more than the previous occupants of the same units. Now, again, I'm not sure which submarkets this is in. I'm sure that's a true statement, but I don't think it's on average. That would be shocking if that were the case. But in any event, the RealPage analysts say that this could likely could end up as the peak growth rate, meaning we finally gotten to the mountaintop. And I would suggest, boy, if that does happen to be average, that's absolutely the case. I can't imagine continuing on that trajectory, but 19.2% and somewhat significantly lower is a long way down. So it's not like it's going to drop, you know, just precipitously, or at least it's not expected to. But in any event, they say that, or they go on to say that, marked the first time in 2022 where rent rates didn't jump significantly just from one month to the next. Well, I don't know that that's the case here. We don't have the data. But several hot rental markets showed signs of moderation in June, with rent increases clocking in at 7 percentage points below highs that were set earlier this year. West Palm Beach, we just looked at a transaction there, and sure enough, the sponsor was projecting 25% to 30% top line rental income growth over the next 2 or 3 years. I just don't understand what they're thinking. And these units were not empty before you start thinking that. Well, yeah, if they had 80% occupancy when they bought it, they might hit that by putting people in the empty units, but not from doing deferred maintenance and you know, repositioning the property, if that's even possible in that market. You know, that's a pretty upscale market. And these were newish units. So, again, you just got to apply some common sense. It's not just the math. You got to think logically. What are the odds that that could happen? But any event, West Palm Beach and Phoenix. Phoenix has been so hot, but Phoenix has started to slightly tell off in the past couple of months. Other key markets coming in below prior month's highs include other Florida cities that you would expect: Jacksonville, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and Tampa, as well as New York, Las Vegas, Memphis, Riverside, San Francisco, Austin, which we would expect, and Seattle, because those cities have been on such a run in terms of the high, the biggest rent increases compared to other markets. And the markets that have seen the biggest rent increases tend to be the more volatile historically, and that'll catch them going up and going down. And while we don't expect, this is a key quote here, and this is what I was saying, the multifamily market's still pretty strong. While we don't, quote, while we don't expect rent change to go negative in these markets anytime soon, it wouldn't be surprising to see many of them fall below the national averages. And that's something you probably could say almost any point in time, but I think it's especially clairvoyant when it comes to this time that we're entering into. Okay, we're going to take our last break here on the Be a Planner show. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of this week's Tax Smash show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We'll be right back.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to more of this week's Be a Planner Tax Smash show. In fact, this will be the last segment. Got about 10 minutes here. So let's tie all this together. I've laid the predicate of what's going on with our public debt. It's only getting worse, as we say every week, but we actually put some numbers to it, although I'm going to suggest the numbers we're using from David McKnight are somewhat conservative. And by the way, we are associated with David McKnight. Full disclosure, we're part of his mentor group, which means we get access to the kind of data that we're talking about today. And I'll say this for a quote insurance quote guy, he's a very savvy tax analyst, I guess you might say, and he's got relationships with some of the people that are at the top of this business. And in fact, David Walker, the former comptroller of the U.S., the nation's CPA, if you will, who's been sounding the alarm on the debt increase now for, I don't know, 10 to 15 years, goes back under, he served under Clinton and I believe Bush Sr. even. And so this isn't new. I mean, the only thing that's new is that we're a lot closer to a disaster than we were when he first started preaching this message. But in any event, now that, again, we've indicated how fast this train is coming, we've talked about the relative strength that it's still happening in multifamily rentals. And so what's the solution? And the solution might surprise you that it's a win-win in terms of the ability to make more money while at the same time converting your pre-tax money at a significant discount to the amount that you've invested. And I know the gurus, the self-made millionaire types that think they've got their hands around this bit of tax advice, who literally could not be further from the truth. They are 180 degrees away from the smart play, which they're right on half of the smart play. Get your money into these multifamily investments, because in doing so, one, you're going to theoretically make above average rates of returns compared to what you'll do in the market. But secondarily, and this is critical that you understand this, and you won't hear this discussed in the media, I would challenge you to call your existing tax advisors and ask them, say, hey, I want to convert my pre-tax funds over to Roth, and I've got these partnerships that my 401 is now invested in, which you're going to have to restructure the 401. You're going to have to get that money rolled over to a self-directed model, which we can help you with. And it's not just the 401. The IRA is you know, it's not as attractive to invest in multifamily or other leveraged real estate within the IRA, because you got to pay, or the IRA has to pay a pretty high tax on the profits. But the concept is similar. Anything you've got that's pre-tax, we need to see if you can access it, how we can access it, and can you self-direct it, which you cannot do with your big company plan. And I don't mean you can choose between index funds or mutual funds or stocks, bonds, whatever. I mean private company investments, which is what the self-directed 401, what we call a 401 trust, the marketing term is solo K. Can you invest them in private companies? And once the answer is yes, then you're off to the races in terms of being able to work the Roth conversion. And you might be surprised to learn that when you value, when you try to do a fair market value analysis of private company investments in real estate, the discounts that are allowable are between the, I don't know, at the low end on a perfect property, maybe as low as 30, 40%. The high end could be as high as 70. So what I'm telling you is, on $100,000, instead of paying tax on $100,000, which you would if you pulled the trigger on a conversion while it's sitting at Schwab or Fidelity or whatever market-based type of investment house you're at, versus paying tax on $50,000, maybe as little as $30,000, depending on what the risk factors are for that particular project, it's a huge opportunity for you to take advantage of the low rates. So those discounts and those potentially higher earnings, that's not even considering the ability to take advantage of the historically low rates that we're sitting in, where you literally could be all converted over to tax-free at a huge discount to what someone that's got their money in Apple stock or AT&T or whatever can do. And all that can happen even while the money stays invested. You don't need to liquidate the investment. You don't need to otherwise rock the boat, so to speak. And for those of you that say, well, gee, you know, I'm 52 years old and I don't want to quit my job, and HR is telling me that to access my funds, I've got to do one or both of those. I'm going to tell you, no, they're wrong. It's not true for everybody, but if you're married and you live in the great state of Texas, we can access your money. It's akin to a postnuptial agreement, but there doesn't have to be any kind of divorce contemplated. You can go look at the Department of Labor's Quadro, Q-D-R-O-F-A-Q, on their website. It's a brochure that pulls up. And you'll see right there in black and white, there is no divorce claim necessary. We've got more than a few clients, as you might imagine, that is how they've launched their investing in multifamily real estate private placements. They've taken money that they were told originally, hey, there's no way to get to this unless you quit your job, move to another employer, or you turn 59 and a half, and that's just not true. It's just they don't know. Just like self-made millionaire doesn't understand he does understand. It's not that he doesn't understand. He chooses to ignore the billions, and I mean billions with a B, of his members' money now and into the future that will go into the IRS coffers. It's just crazy how that has happened over the recent past. But in any event, so again, if you've got retirement money, you're worried about, as you should be, about how much your partner's share is going to be when you start taking that money out, now's the time. And I'm not suggesting there's not other options other than private company investments. I'm just going to say that's the sweet spot, because it's not just the earnings. It's the ability to do a Roth conversion. You could go into, I don't know, some single premium annuities as an example, but you're not going to get the discounts that you will from these private company investments. And the risk factors that generate the reason for the discount are nothing really more than you've done when you bought your own home that you live in. It's normal things. You may not be able to sell it when you want to sell it. You may not be able to refinance it. Hey, we understand all that. And if I hadn't watched this investment space for 20 plus years now and seen that, yes, the market has fluctuations, but they're not fluctuations like the Dow, where you might lose 1 or 2% today, and you get it back next week. I mean, it's insane, the yo-yo there. But in any event, so we're at the end of the show. I'm going to suggest again that if you want to find out more how we can help you navigate this change to your investment balancing, feel free to go to the website, schedule a call if you just want to chat without giving us the data. We won't be able to be as specific with our answers, but we're happy to entertain a phone call if you like. So baplanner.com, and we will see you tomorrow, 7 a.m. We're going to talk about syndications again on the Syndication Mass Show, and we'll look forward to getting up early tomorrow for those of you in America. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.